on Friday, I ended up over at MSU doing some repair jobs. And I don't know if you know, but the last, like let's say a month ago, I lost two of my workers. And so I've been having to go out and do jobs. And so whenever that happens, whenever the Lord does that, it's like I figure He has people He wants me to meet. So anyway, I didn't know I was going to go over to Lansing on Friday. I had told a guy I couldn't get over there. But then my other jobs, the way it worked out, I had basically the afternoon, so I headed to MSU. And I'd already witnessed, I've been witnessing to a lot of people practically about every single place I go. But when I got to MSU, there was three different apartments, and these brand new apartments that they've been building for the last year on campus there in East Lansing. And so I went to do repairs, and the first guy, his name was James, and he was from Waterford, and he was a very nice young man and mannerly and clean cut. And I talked to him, and he listened, and he's never heard this before. He's not really a church goer, and wasn't trained that way by his parents. But he listened, and he was very mannerly and considering what God said. And the next person was a girl named Becca, and she was studying to be an accountant. I think this is her senior year, so she had a apartment by herself, whereas most of them have other roommates and stuff, you know, share cost. But she said she didn't want the distractions or the responsibility, because they teach them there that if you're older, then you need to help the younger ones, you know, stay in line or something, whatever. And then I went to the third one, and I decided I'm just going to go in here and do my job, and I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to try to do my job. But when I walked in the apartment, it was like walking in a sauna, because she had just got home from work right before I got there, and she had not turned the air conditioner on. And I walked in and just burst into sweat. I instantly became soaking wet. But you can't complain to somebody or whatever. You just have to do your job, you know. So I'm doing my job and got a paper towel to wipe my forehead and neck and everything. And it was soaking wet. I could have probably wrung it out. And I just hung it up to dry and thought, okay, I'll probably have a clothesline of paper towels here before I'm done, you know. And after a little while, I felt this cool breeze. And I said, young lady, I want to thank you for turning that air conditioner on. You know, we take so much for granted. We take things for granted. Being in America, we take for granted just being in America. And we have things that other people don't even have access to. Y'all heard me talk about that, like when we went to Africa, and just to find an American toilet, you know, a toilet that was above ground. That being on the ground stuff just didn't cut it with me so much, you know. I just did not like that. We take so much for granted. And it's like God has just made me aware so that I don't take as much for granted like I used to. And I just thank Him for things all the time. So she turned that air on, and I just thanked her. And then I said, is it possible for me to get a glass of water? Because I was just sweating so bad. So she said, yeah, let me give you a cold one out of the refrigerator. And not a cold one, a cold water. Some of y'all need help. Okay. I knew it as soon as I said it. I thought, okay, they're watching too much commercials. You know? Okay. And then I said, you know, you are going to get, I said, you are going to get a Matthew 10:42 blessing. And she said, I don't know what that is. I said, it says if you give to drink a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, you will in no wise lose your reward. I said, God is going to bless you just for giving me this cold water. And when I said that, we were in the kitchen, and you had to go through the bedroom to get into the bathroom. So she followed me, and I was in the bathroom, and I don't remember what we were saying, but I'm witnessing to her, and she's standing in the bedroom, and I'm standing in the bathroom. So I turn around and try to go, and no matter where I went, she just kept staying the same distance from me and followed me into the bathroom. And it was like she wanted to hear what I was saying. So her name was Rosa, probably still is, probably hadn't changed it since Friday. The tense that we say things in, her name was Rosa, she died. Okay, and I asked her, because she wouldn't leave. Kept saying, do you have something you want to say? Do you have a question or something? No. No. I just like hearing you talk. I'm like, okay. I like to talk. So, go figure. And I said to her, let me ask you a question. I said, if you stood before God, I said, if you died, where would you go? She goes, oh, I think I'd go to heaven. I said, if you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? And she said, I'd tell him, because I want to learn more about you. And because I try to be good. And so I shared with her. I said, have you ever read the Bible? She said, no. I said, do you go to church? She goes, yeah. I go to Saint whatever. Okay. And she's from Hart, Michigan, Paula. She's from Hart. And she told me about her home church in Hart that she grew up at. Now, this is a college girl, like, I think she was a junior. And, she says, and I go to Saint so-and-so here in Lansing. And I said, okay. I said, so, do you understand that God made you in his image? I said, you know how you want to be loved and accepted, and for somebody to want to spend time with you for who you are and share in your life? instead of somebody wanting to be with you for what you have or what you look like or what you do for them? And she goes, yeah. I said, well, God made you in His image. And that's what God wants. He wants to be loved, and He wants somebody to want to spend time with Him and share in His life, share in His hurts and His concerns, just like you want. I said, but you know, sin separates us from God. And God's holy and we're not holy, and God's righteous and we're not righteous, and God's perfect and we're not perfect, and God is sinless and we're sinful. And I said, so there's a block between us and God. Just like when you and your mom or your dad, somebody has a bad attitude, I said, y'all might love one another, but there's a block between you. And you can't have sweet fellowship. I said, well, there's a block between us and God, and it's called sin. And so God, though He gave us rules and stuff, the majority of people were not living by that, and so they weren't fellowshipping with God, and the majority of them weren't coming to home to be with Him. And so what God did, so that He could fix it, He prepared Himself a body. Now, sin is passed through the blood, and blood comes through the Father. I didn't make this stuff up. Go talk with doctors or scientists. They'll tell you all this stuff. And sin is passed with the blood, and the blood comes from the Father. And so God couldn't have an earthly dad because there would have been sin. But He found a virgin that loved God. She wasn't any better than anybody else, but she just loved God. And she was a virgin. And He put His seed in her. And then He was birthed into this world, so number one, He could become like us, so we could relate to Him, so He could feel what we feel. But the only difference is He was the only man born that couldn't die, because He never sinned, and He obeyed His parents, and He grew up and became like His dad, his second dad. See, I don't believe in stepdads or stepmoms. I believe in second moms and second dads. Because that step something has a bad, negative, icky connotation to it. I hate it. Jesus had a second dad. And then at the age 30, He entered into to fulfill His purpose on life. And He became a preacher. And His first words, Mark 1:15, were, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And He went around loving people and healing people and exampling the life of God in a body. And then at the age 33, He said, "Father," and this is what I told her, I said, He said, "Father, treat me as if I'm Harvey. Treat me as if I'm a liar. Treat me as if I'm a thief. Treat me as if I've disobeyed my parents. Treat me as if I'm a whoremonger. Treat me as if I'm a drug dealer. And give me what Harvey deserves." And the Father said, "But son, that would kill you." And He says, "I know, Dad, but I don't want it to kill Harvey. So give me what Harvey deserves." And God took my sin and charged it to Jesus' account. And Jesus, God in a body, died. My sin killed Him, because He took all my sin, past, present, future. It was all future for Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 12, it says, "This man, after he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God." He sat down because the last few words He said on the cross were, "It is finished." You see, it was done. It was paid for. He did everything that was necessary, and now He could rest. After we do what's necessary, then we can rest. Does that make sense? And I said, so my sin killed him. And he took my sin and he buried it. And I said, 3 days later, while his body's laying in the grave, Jesus said, I said, because the real Jesus, I said, you know that this body, I said, you can't even see me. I said, you can only see the body I'm temporarily living in, just like you're temporarily living in this apartment, Rosa. Well, I'm temporarily living in this body. I'm an eternal spirit. You're an eternal spirit, temporarily living in a body. So the real Jesus, while his body was in the grave, the real Jesus, the spirit of Jesus, stood before the Father and said, Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Or is there something else Harvey has to do? And the, bah, 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 bah. The Father reached over and picked up the body of Jesus from the grave and said, paid in full. It's done. The debt is taken care of. He said, now I want to offer you a gift. I want to offer you pardon and mercy and forgiveness and eternal life and a relationship with me. You can become my little daughter. But the only way to get it is through the blood of Jesus. Will you accept this gift or you're going to try to come some other way? So I asked her again. I said, if you were to die right now, where would you go? And she said, trembling, hell. And I said, did I talk you into that? And she goes, no. What you're saying, it's like it's true in here. I said, so where would you go? She goes, hell. And I said, okay. So I turned around. I think I was on my knees. I turned around to the tub and I didn't talk to the tub. I just prayed though, you know. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, well, she knows she's going to hell now. Do you want to leave her there? I'm like, no. And I said, what do you want me to do? Because I don't want to just pray some prayer that somebody says these words and thinks they're going to heaven because they said some magic words. Like I was taught. I don't want to do that. And I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, if you would like to, would you like to pray? And she goes, yeah. And I said, well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk to God. And then after I talked to God, I said, he may lead where I help you to pray. He may have you just pray, but he may have me pray and say some words. And if you mean them and understand them, then you repeat them after me. But don't just say the words because they're not magic. You need to understand and mean them. And she goes, okay. So she gets down on her knees and to pray like this. It was so just precious, you know what I mean? Just so precious. So I got on, I said, would you like to pray? She goes, yeah. So I get on my knees, so she gets on her knees. And I just start talking about her. Father, this is my friend Rosa. And Lord, she's been listening. And I just started, whatever, I don't even know. I just talked to him about her. And while I was praying, thank you for that. Oh, okay. And while I was praying, I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And it was like, I want you to let her pray first. And so I got through praying and I said, would you like to pray? And she goes, yes. And so she says, God, I am so sorry that you had to die on that cross. I'm so sorry for my sin putting you there. I I'm so sorry that I haven't been going to church regular like I should. I'm so sorry that I've been neglecting you in my life, getting so busy, making excuses, you know, just because I'm going to school all these hours and working all these hours, and I want to ask you to forgive me, and God, I'm sorry, and she just was going on. And when she got done, or while she was praying, actually, God said, when she's done, I want you to help her pray and come to me. So when she got done, I said, would you like to pray with me? Could I help you pray? And she goes, yeah. So I said, dear God, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm responsible for my sin. I can't blame somebody else. And I know that I deserve to pay for my sin. And I don't deserve to come to heaven. I deserve to go to hell. And she's repeating after me because I'm saying in little phrases. Now I remember my phrases kept getting longer, though. And I was having a hard time keeping them in short phrases because I was praying for crying out loud. You know, I'm not doing a rehearsed script. I'm praying, you know. But she's praying with me. And I said, in Jesus, I believe you are God in the flesh. God in a body. And you loved me so much, you didn't stay in heaven and just think about it or talk about it, but you came to earth so you could become me, so you could become my substitute. And you died on the cross in my place. I want to ask you to forgive me for killing you with my sin. And I'm asking you, will you forgive me? And I had shared with her, when somebody turns to God and says that, Jesus is like, I've been waiting your whole life for this day. And Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead, and I want to trust in you as my Savior. I want you to come live inside of me. I want to give you my life. I want to fellowship with you. I want to walk with you. You remember earlier I told you wherever I went, she would follow me? But the distance got a little closer, okay, after this. And the girl was like right here, man. And I'm turning around trying to finish my job, and she's like right here, you know, like over me watching. You know, it was right. It's like, and I'm like, do you have any questions? Anything you want to say? No, I just want to hear you keep talking. Just don't stop talking. Just keep talking. I love what you say. She goes, I love what you're saying. Can I tell you something? I want to tell you something. People need to know that they are loved. People need to know that God loves them right now, 100%. I went to Verizon yesterday for them to put a new shatterproof screen on my thing because my first shatterproof shattered. You're not supposed to sit on them. And, no, really? Go figure. So, anyway, so it broke the first one, so I took it back. They put another one on yesterday. Well, I walk in. When you walk into Verizon, they say, and why are you here today? And I said, I know. She showed me those pictures. I was so like, oh, poor girl. Watch this. So she said, she's just sitting there having to talk to all these people come in. Bah, 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 bah. And what'd you come here today for? And what'd you come to Friday for? And what'd you come here for? And what'd you come here for? So I said, could I share a happy thought with you? Do you need a happy thought? She goes, yeah, I could use one. So I leaned to her. There's a girl at Verizon yesterday. And I said, God loves you for who you are and not what you do. God loves you 100% right now. And she kind of goes like this. And she goes, that is an awesome happy thought. I called a lady, a company called Max over in Canada, is one of the, where one of their offices are, and they're one of the suppliers. They make bathtubs, and I called them to talk to them about her job on Friday. And the lady answered the phone, and I said, the very first thing I said, you listen, Brittany, very first thing I said was, have a good day on purpose. And she goes, and I go, what? She goes, you're him. You talked to me last week. She said, my life. She said, you impacted my life so much. I said, ma'am, do you want me to just stay to the facts? You want me to just be, you know, like everybody else and stay to the facts? And she goes, no, but I don't know what's coming.
We don't either.
She said, after I talked to you, I now have a boyfriend. When you talk to me about God, I now have a boyfriend. So I prayed for her about the boyfriend. I mean, I felt like God had me say to that lady in Canada, when I prayed for her, I said something like, you just brought it to my mind, Lord, like, God, please protect her and have them both going in the same direction, which is you. Something like that, you know. I said, it's good to have a boyfriend, but it's better to have a soulmate that's after the same thing you're after, when that is God. I have been asking God. I didn't know I was going to talk. I got this whole other thing that we're not going to do that I thought we were going to do today. But I've been asking God for months. Brother Nate and I were talking about it. I'm going to say it this way. I've been asking God for months, why is it when I'm out there and you just flow through me like a bazooka and people cry and start smiling these smiles that you couldn't get them to smile without giving them $1 million. Why is it everywhere I go, they're got these like smiles that won't quit, or just peace comes over them and they're troubled, or they start crying or trembling? Why is it everywhere I go this is happening? And I want to share these stories. I want to talk to these people that I love the most. I want to share these things because I want them to have this. And then when I come here, it's not that way. Do you know? I'm not asking if you know the words or know the principle. Do you know that God loves you 100%? When was the last time you told that to another person on the planet? And what person on the planet doesn't need to hear it? What person in your life doesn't need to hear it? I'm not expecting you to be me. I can't help it. I've never met a stranger. My wife said to me years ago, do you know who you'd marry if I died? And I go, Sue, I can't think of anybody. She said, do you know who you'd marry if I died? And I'm like, who? Who? And she said, who's ever standing the closest? She said, you just love everybody. And it's like, you know what? But I'm going to ask you. There's people that you see every day. Every day you see people. And when you look at da-da, 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 when you look at their eyes, they've got pain. When you listen to them talk, don't they talk about their hurts and their disillusionment and their anger? And is there anything you can do? I mean, sometimes you don't even want to be around them when they start opening their mouth. Some of them you don't want to ask them how they're doing because you're going to get spewed on with venom. Do you know what I'm saying? What if? Because we just got to get them to Jesus. Our love, please hear this, our love is too shallow for their need. Every one of us in this room is selfish. The only one who's not selfish is Jesus. And the only time we're not selfish is when we're letting Jesus live in us or when we're God conscious. Folks, it is so important to read this book. It is so important to get God's thoughts inside of you. It's so important. First, it's for you. But then as you get filled up with Him and His way of thinking and His way of seeing, and you start believing this instead of believing all this that's around us, we wallow. Don't you feel like sometimes like either you're underwater or you're gasping for air? I grew up in Florida. We used to go swimming in the beach. I don't know if you know what undertow is, but if you go to the beach and you're standing there, all of a sudden when the waves are coming in, you feel this pressure pulling you. Well, sometimes it comes in and it pulls you right under. People die. It's called undertow. When you've got a force this way, there's a force that way that's pulling under, and it's called undertow, and it pulls you under. And I've been pulled under, and I'm like trying to get up to get air, and you're breathing in all this salt water. Okay? Do you ever feel like that in life? Like you're under, and like where's the air, and which way is up, and how do I ever get relief, and is this ever going to end, and is there any hope? Do you ever feel all that? Yeah. Folks, please take your hand and hold it in front of your mouth. In front of your mouth, John. And say something. Yeah, say something. Did you feel the breath on the back of your hand? God is closer than your breath. He's right here. Every situation in your life, every relationship, He's right here. He told me that one time. I'm like, I'm so used to feeling you. Where are you? I can't find you. And He said, take your hand, hold it up to your mouth. So I did. And He said, now say something. And I said something, whatever I said. I don't know. He said, do you feel that breath? I'm closer than your breath. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We leave Him. We tell God, please sit in the back seat. Actually, we don't usually even say please. We just either say sit in the back seat or get in the trunk and be my spare tire, God. But He loves us. He's pursuing us. And everybody in this room is at a different level. Please hear me. It's kind of like if you were on a pathway like from Roxanne up to this cross. It's like every one of you in this room, including me, every one of us, are at a different place on the path toward God. That's why some of the things that I say, or my wife says, or whoever's teaching, or you hear it, you may pick or choose, and you want to argue, nitpick, brush it off, because you're not at a place where you can hear it yet. You're not mature enough to hear it if you can accept that. But wherever you are on that path, God is drawing you. He's wanting you. In His ways, everything about His ways are not to hurt us. They're not to confine us. They're not to take away from us. Do you know what John 8:32 says? What does it say? What does it say? Does anybody know? That's how it ends. It says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There are truths you know because you've come here, for example. You've listened. You've heard some stuff, and it's helped set you free. Now, I'm going to challenge you. God gave me a vision one time when he was showing this truth to me. And we were like at a concert, let's say, okay? And there was like tons of people at work. You know, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people. And he had and he had me up front. And he had me say, how many of you want to be free? And everybody goes, yeah! And he said, now ask him this question. How much truth are you willing to see and move in? Because the extent of truth will determine the depth of your freedom. And it's not just knowing it. Listen to John 7:17. Did you write that first one down? John 8:32. The next one is John 7:17. Can I challenge you this week to just mature a little bit more and memorize those two verses? John 8:32, John 7:17. This week, it's not hard. You're not an old dog, so we can teach you new tricks. Okay? Right? Right. John 8:32. Listen how hard it is. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Does that sound hard? Okay. How about John 7:17? Listen. If any man will do his will, then he, you and I, shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether it be of man. Now, here's the thing, or me, he says, whether it be of God or whether it be of me. Here's the point. When you're willing to do or move in a truth, then you can know and understand. Like, would you like to know God's will for your life? Like, let's look at Brittany. Let's everybody look at Brittany. Brittany, would you like to know God's will for your life? Okay, now look at me. Okay? Would you like to know God's will for your life? If any man will do his will. If Brittany says, God, I want to know what your will is. And he says, are you willing to do it, whether you like it or not? Are you willing to follow me? Do you want to be a baby Christian? He says, because if you're willing to do my will, I'm going to show it to you. You're going to know it. I'm going to make it clear. I'm going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so even Brooklyn can get a hold of them. Because I don't know that other little girl's name who's smaller. Maybe she's the Bronx. I don't know. Little humor there. Now, here's what I'm saying. If we're willing to do God's will, what truth is it you know? Like, you know that God loves you, and you can meditate on that. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. God loves me. Just start telling people that. You don't even have to tell them that God loves them. Just start telling everybody that God loves you. God, did you know that God loves me? He loves me. He loves me. God loves me. He loves me. God loves me. Now, if you walk around, God loves me, and I'm so excited about it. You know, they probably aren't going to, it's not going to do you any good or them. But if you think about it, God loves me. Do you know he loves me? I'm not even lovable sometimes, and he still loves me. I'm not even obeying all the time, and he still loves me. I'm not good all the time, and he still loves me. He loves me. Now that is just one truth. Just one. Do you know he loves you? If you know he loves you, hold up your hand. Because I just want to see if there's somebody in here that doesn't know that so I can help them. Okay? I was just about to say. God loves you! Okay. Now, here's what I want you to say. You ready with me? God loves me. Now, say it like this. God loves me. Oh, that's good. But let's try saying it again. Ready? God loves me. Come on. You can do better than that. Quit acting. Forget everybody else saying, God loves me. That's better. That's better. Now, look. Doesn't that make you feel good? I mean, seriously. Really? I'd rather have a sore throat knowing God loves me than have a good throat without that. Okay? What I'm saying is that's just one thought. That's just one truth. Folks, I'm saying this to somebody in this room. I feel like God wants me to say it. I don't know who it's for, but I am going to say it. Okay? I was a drug dealer. I met Jesus. I had made straight A's in school. I'd been successful doing things, made a lot of money. But when I met Jesus, I said, you know what? Everything that I knew up till now, I would have gone to hell with it. It didn't help me a bit. It didn't make me happy. It didn't take away my pain. It didn't get me to heaven. But now that I met Jesus, and I've just tasted of something I've never tasted so good in my life, I want more of him. So what I'm going to do is I don't like my life anyway. Anybody in here doesn't like their life anyway? So what I'm willing to do is start my life over. So I'm going to get rid of my life. I'm going to get rid of the way I think, the way I do things, and I'm going to turn to God and say, God, I don't like my life anyway, so I want your life. I've tasted of you, but I want more. I'm a greedy guts. Thank you that I got a bite of Jesus, but I want a whole meal of Jesus. I want a feast on Jesus. I'm saying that to somebody. God's saying that to somebody in this room. You're tired of your life? Well, then why don't you lose it? Why don't you quit trying to live your life? Quit trying to get God to come give you what you want. He's not a magic God on the cross. You rub your little cross and you say, in Jesus' name, and you get everything. It doesn't work like that. It's like, I don't want my life anymore. I want your life, Jesus. How do I get to you? Now, the reason he has me keep telling you over and over again, I asked him the other day, why do you have me keep saying over and over again? I keep feeling like you want me to tell him, I was a drug dealer, I was a drug dealer, I was a drug dealer. Why do you have me keep telling him that? He said, because, Harvey, if I could scrape you out of the gutter, you were as low as I could get. He said, if I could do something with you, what could I do with them? You may think your life is hard and rough and blah, 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 whatever. Well, I'm going to tell you, you didn't start as low as I did. And all you got to do is tell him, I don't want my life anymore. I don't want my life anymore. Jesus, teach me how to walk into your life. Jesus, I just want you. I want whatever you want. And start reading the Bible every day. Because you're going to start getting his thinking, his thoughts. Because every one of us has thinking. Is that right? If you don't think it's right, ask the people near you if it's right. And they'll tell you yes. I mean, if you're brave enough. If you're mature enough to handle it. If you're not mature enough to handle it, it's okay. God's going to heal you. That's fine. That's good. That's being honest. I'm not ready to hear it yet. But if you really want to know, you ask the people around you. Because we deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We believe lies. If the truth sets us free, what's the opposite of truth? Sorry? And what? So if the truth sets us free, what do lies do? Bind us up, put us in prison. What was the word you said? Bind us up. Do you ever feel bound? Would you like to get free? And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I mean, do you see how simple it is? It's so simple. Jesus loves me. He loves me. And when you get that, you're going to start telling others, he loves you. Do you know he loves you? And you're going to tell it to a harlot. You're going to tell it to a prostitute. You're going to tell it to a druggie. You're going to tell it to a drunk. And you're going to tell it to someone who's brokenhearted. And you're going to tell it to someone who's at the point of death. I told that to a young man one time. And he ended up meeting Jesus. And after he met Jesus, he said, I was plotting a murder. Me and two other boys, and we were just getting ready to murder a man. And he said, because I listened to, I don't know if it was AC/DC or Iron Maiden. That's what he was listening to, Iron Maiden. You see, what you listen to, what you hang out with, what you think, you end up becoming. Do you hear me? Sue the other day in Sunday school called it brain scrubbing. Brain scrubbing. We need to get our brain scrubbed. We have a lot of stinking thinking. Last night, Sue and I watched a movie called, I won't tell you what the name of it was. But overall, the movie was good, even though it was in color. I love black and white movies. I'm sorry. I'd watch a black and white over a color any day. But this was an action movie. You know, I won't tell you what the name of it was, but it rhymed with Ishin Impossible. Okay, something like that. And I don't know what this guy's name was, but he could cruise around as a Tom. And while we were watching this movie, they had this section in it with this girl who ain't got enough clothes on, you know. Mom didn't teach her, right? And then words were said and things were done. And they didn't go as bad as I've seen other movies, because normally I like fast forward this, whatever. And then afterwards, watch the movie. The movie had all this action and stuff. I liked it, okay? But I didn't like that part, because afterwards these other thoughts started coming in my mind. Or spank my bottom. And my point is this. So after, and I didn't even realize it, though. That's what I'm saying. Normally, if I see stuff like that, I'm like, right, I turn the thing off. You know, I was like, I don't want to do that. That's why I don't like color movies so much. I like the old black and white ones more, because they don't have as much in them. But anyway, here's what I started to say. After this morning, I was thinking these thoughts, and I went, where are these thoughts coming from? And they were taking me back to that movie, things that were said or things that I saw. And I said, Jesus, I am so sorry that I allowed that inside of me. Jesus, I'm asking you to remove the seed and the root that's coming from what I saw and what I heard. And I'm asking you to forgive me and remove that and then fill that void in my life with your blood and your life, because I only want Jesus living in me. Now, you know what? I first had to come to him and admit the truth. I let that in. Are you listening to me? I've given you a little key that will help you. What we let in, our eyes. Remember I told you about my cat having the eye problem last week? Every time she looks at something, she wants to go there, and I tell her, and she goes, because she knows if she goes there, she's going to go, because I'm going to hit her, okay? So when I say, she goes, ignores it, however she does it. She has an eye problem because she looks at stuff. Well, I look at stuff sometimes that I wished I hadn't looked at. And Grace had the right idea. Just turn it off. I'm sorry. My flesh isn't that strong. Sometimes I'm three quarters of the way into a movie, and I have a hard time turning the thing off. And that is what would be the best way. But guess what? God allows for, okay, I've done this. Now what do I do? God says, come and be honest. God, I let this inside of me, and I wish I hadn't. Now the devil is bringing all these thoughts inside of me. I don't want them. Will you please forgive me for letting it in? Now, will you please remove them out of me and the effect of them in me, where they're trying to take me? And then, Jesus, will you now, since you've removed those, will you come fill those areas with your blood and your life? Because I want you living in me. And you know what? Instantly, I had peace, joy, presence of God again. Without those thoughts, they went away. James 4:7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's real simple. But in order to resist him, you have to combat him, fight him with truth. Because ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I saw that on Three Stooges one time. What was that? Curly. Except for he was doing some other words, but. Folks, God has a life that is above. He has a life that is way better than what you and I have experienced. We've only tasted. He's got so much more. And it's truth. And it's pure. And it's peaceful. Everywhere I go, I make people smile, and like I'm standing in the subway line, and I'll say, did you know they said we could smile while we were standing in line? And they all start smiling, you know? And I'll say to the person next to me, when they ask what you want on your sandwich, tell them your teeth. And then they start laughing. I mean, I say all kinds of stuff, and it makes them laugh. Now, some of them only smile because they know I'm going to leave. But others smile while I'm still there. But they all smile. So we have fun. And I said to somebody the other day after they were laughing, and I said, isn't this cool? And it's pure. There's no, you don't have to feel guilty about it later. I said, I don't have to go do any drugs or drink to get over it and forget it. I said, isn't this cool? I said, I like the pure life in Jesus. Because I didn't always have that. I didn't even know about it till I was 20 years old. Folks, God has so much more for us. And all you got to do is tell him, I want that. And then when he gives you a thought, go to church. Read your Bible. Don't hit her again. Ask her to forgive you. But whatever. Do that. Obey that. Can I give you one more thing and then we'll be done? Or do y'all have enough?
No.
Got enough?
No.
Okay, one more thing. You ready? Christianity is different than any other religion. Every other religion, they're trying to do it, follow a list of rules. Christianity is the only one that has a living God. And when you accept him as your Savior, when you admit, I'm the one who killed you with my sin, forget everybody else. It's between you and me, God. I killed you with my sin. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And he's like, I sure will. He says, I'm going to forgive you so much. I'm going to clean you. I'm going to start a process of cleaning you. He said, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to come live inside of you. And he comes live inside of you. It's the only religion in the whole world where the God comes to live inside of you. And you tell him, God, I want this. I want what he's talking about. I want this life above. I want Christ. But I don't know how to get there. That's where you got to say it. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to do anything different than what I'm doing. But I'm inviting you to get me there, God. Now, I'm going to warn you, just like on the pack of cigarettes, it says warning, you know, the Surgeon General. Well, this is a warning from the Holy Surgeon General, the Holy Spirit. You ready? If you invite him, he's going to answer. And what he's going to do is he's going to start talking to you. Dana, this is what you need to do. Oh, but I don't want to because she said this and acted like that. And he's going, I know, but I want you to be like me and forgive her. Make a choice to forgive her. Now you get to choose who's going to live in you. All he's going to do is remind you. He's here to remind you. He will do it in you. All you got to do is make the right choice. Do you hear me? Does anybody hear me? I'm glad all three of you did. Okay. I love you. I want God for you so much, I can't even hardly stand it. I love you. I appreciate you. I told you this week I was praying or somehow I was with God and I just started talking about you guys. And I'm just like, all I could just feel was love and appreciation for every one of you. I was just seeing your faces in front of me when I was praying. It was like, it was just so cool. Have you ever heard of VeggieTales? God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than the Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Or God is bigger than the boogeyman and he's watching out for you and me. I'm telling you, he is. God doesn't need us to do stuff for him. He chooses to, you know, to, what's the word, co-labor. He chooses to partner with us and live through us. But there are people, as I understand it, in the Middle East, like, what are those kind of people that, terrorists, Muslims and all those? There's a bunch of them that are coming to Jesus and have been for years with Jesus just showing up in their dreams. And they go, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus the Christ. And they're like, ah, they turn to Jesus and there's nobody there witnessing to him or something. God could do that. But you know part of why God's doing that? Because we're not. Well, because we need to be witnessing. And you know what? You don't got to straighten up to start witnessing. As soon as I got saved as a drug dealer, the very next day I was out telling people about Jesus. Now, I know I was scaring them because I would go up to their door and go, did you know God's real? And, of course, that scared them a little bit. So they called the police on me. But what I'm saying is, it's like as soon as I met him, I couldn't quit talking about him. I told Sue a couple, maybe 4 days ago. It just hit me like, I know the words are going to sound like you're going to think I'm just being silly. But I told her, I said, I am so glad I'm called to preach. I said, I think I was just designed to preach. I just love to tell everybody about Jesus. I said, I just can't quit talking about him. You know what? God has a purpose for your life. And when you find out what that purpose is, but it's in him, not outside of him, in him. When you find that purpose for your life, you can't beat it. And everybody I talk to, I don't care if they're rich, they're poor, they're black, they're white, they're green. I don't care what they are. Every one of them, I start sharing with them about, he loves you. They all start smiling. He loves you for who you are, not what you do. And I just asked God, what do you want to say to this lady in Canada? And I don't even know what I said. But the next time I talked to her, as soon as I said a few words, she just tremblingly, you're him. I had a lady say that to me at Capital One. I called to pay my card. you know, at Capital One. And I said something, and I said, can I share a happy thought with you? And she goes, yeah. I said, close your eyes, because you got to close your eyes to get the happy thought, okay? And then I said, God, let her know how precious she is to you, that she's a desire of your heart. You want to pick her up and carry her next to your heart the rest of her life. And she goes, you're him, you're him. One of my co-workers told me about you, that you talked to her a few months ago, and I've just been wishing I could talk to you because we didn't know how to get to you. And she was crying, you're him, you're him. People are desperate for God. They don't need a bunch of rules shoved down their throat. Now, the closer you get to God, the more you do the things the way He wants them done. Oh, my word. The blessings. I'm telling you. His way is perfect. His way works. All the rest of them don't. God, how can I get closer to you? How can I get closer to walking in the way you want me to walk and live like you? I want to live like Jesus. Father, this is my family. I love them. I'm just asking you to keep us close, close to you, close to one another. I'm asking the Lord you make these words alive inside of us. I pray that you would help us to memorize these scriptures, meditate on them, think on them, allow your truth to get in us more and more and more truth and live the truth and more and more. And just, Lord, find out every step. It's like walking into more freedom, more freedom, more freedom, more freedom. Jesus, keep each one safe. Bring to our minds that we need to depend on you. But bring to our minds as the truths that you've already shared with us, and that we would begin to speak them out loud, either to ourselves or to other people. And we would find how we live in more of an atmosphere of freedom. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. I am so excited for what you've done. But, Lord, I just need more. I'm a greedy guts. Come on, more, Lord. Get us whatever it takes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.